Facial recognition technology has become a part of everyday life in China, with the Chinese government using it to surveil its citizens and keep track of ethnic minority groups. Private companies are starting to use this technology as well. Ping An, China's largest insurance company, uses facial recognition technology to determine customers' financial risk, and they're using it to screen whether a customer is lying or if they have health problems before selling them life or health insurance and making loans. And this is raising questions on whether we'll see similar technology used in the United States. Joining us from Beijing is Michael Powers. He's a professor at Tsinghua University and a former insurance regulator here in the United States. Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
So I read this story and I thought, oh my God, this sounds terrifying. How are these companies using facial recognition technology to assess risk?
I think that to be very fair about this, one would have to say that these are the early days of using facial recognition to assess risk. So that we may envision some years down the road that there is a substantial amount of information that could be derived from facial recognition. But at the moment, these are very early days. I think that these programs are largely pilot programs that are backed up by conventional risk assessment techniques as well. But there is an indication coming from a company like Ping An here in China, and I'm sure that there are companies in the United States that have their own preliminary projects. There is this indication that this is something that probably will be used in the future.
Now, how is it that they're, what are they looking for?
I think that we would have to divide things into different types of risk, because certainly depending on the type of risk that's involved, the company would be looking for something different. Perhaps the simplest thing would be a matter of verifying identity. Let's say one is buying an insurance policy or taking out a loan. There's the possibility that there is some fraud taking place, that someone is making the purchase using a false identity, for example. So one thing that a company making a loan might do is simply to use facial recognition to check the identity of the person who is applying for the loan or purchasing the insurance policy.
But aren't there other ways they can do that, with fingerprints or their version of a social security number, or any other ways to do it other than your face?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, there are many other ways. And that's going to be true really across the board in terms of any use of facial recognition in assessing risk. There are alternatives, of course. But let's go back to the simplest case of validating identity. It's actually very unintrusive. It may seem like it's a violation of privacy or it intrudes upon one's personal space to take a photograph of the face. But in some ways, it's less intrusive in that the face can be recognized from a distance, whereas a fingerprint or a signature or some other verification might require a much physically closer interaction.
Now, I'm going to be a little skeptical here, just slightly, Michael, and say that in my experience, insurance companies will do most everything to not have to insure their customers. This feels like, is that what they're looking for when they talk about risk? Not wanting to insure folks who are potentially not as healthy or may have certain tics that can come across in this facial recognition?
I think that there certainly is that issue. I was previously, some years ago, a regulator, an insurance regulator in the United States. I'm familiar with issues of availability of insurance and the underwriting techniques that insurance companies use that may prevent certain individuals who are perceived as having higher risks from obtaining insurance coverage. I don't think that those types of issues play much role in what Ping An is doing in China at the moment. I think that if we move, let's say, from the use in terms of simply validating identity, we move to assessing health risk or mortality risk by looking at several static views, let's say, of a human face. What they are trying to do is they're trying to determine whether this person has medical conditions that might violate the underwriting guidelines of the company. And at that point, yes, they might refuse to write the policy, or they might write the policy with a higher premium. But again, I don't think that it's that much different from asking for a medical evaluation. I think what's different about it is that it's brand new and probably less directly effective in terms of providing information than a thorough medical exam would be. But again, the positive side would be that one doesn't have to go through the intrusive medical exam. Perhaps one can avoid having blood drawn or urinalysis or some other test if it's possible to use facial recognition to do this.
Now, I guess the other question here is that when we look at this contextually, China has, as we mentioned at the top, is using facial recognition and surveillance throughout the country for more tracking of its citizens. And so I guess when you start combining that level of data that the government is collecting on individual citizens and they're assigning them scores, essentially, this could potentially present some civil rights concerns, I think.
I think that there is probably less concern about that sort of problem in China than there would be in the United States. I think that most people in China would see the use of facial recognition in terms of, let's say, making financial transactions, simple financial transactions, payments using one's smartphone, or payments in a fast food restaurant, or payments in a museum or the subway system or something like that. These can facilitate and expedite transactions. And I think that that's probably the single broadest use of facial recognition at the moment. You referred to other things such as the social credit system. I'm not sure how much of that is tied into facial recognition currently. Certainly that's something that could be a potential in the future, but the social credit system relies upon many types of endpoint that would have very little to do with facial recognition.
Michael Powers is a professor at Tsinghua University and a former insurance regulator here in the U.S. Michael, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.